This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
We are live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Busy hour coming up. Longtime friend of the show, Adam Chernoff, going to join us for two full segments in 15 minutes. We'll talk wildcard weekend and the playoffs in general, our best bets before the end of the show as well. And right now we go out to the Progressive guest line as lifelong Hoosier IU alum, and he's also here at VSiN, a familiar voice to those of you in the audience. Wes Reynolds joins us as he is live in Atlanta for the Peach Bowl tomorrow night, Indiana and Oregon. Hey, Wes, how you feeling right now, man? What are the level of nerves at?
Yeah, I'm actually live in Nashville because we're going to be driving down. I think I'm in the parking lot of that gas station that was on Bad Beats a few weeks ago with Scott Van Pelt, the Quick Sack, here just outside the Nashville airport as we are driving down to Atlanta tonight. You know, a little bit of nerves, but I feel good. You know, I was talking with Paul before the break. This has been a hell of a ride if it ends even tomorrow night.
Yes.
To win the Big Ten title, to win the Rose Bowl game. And we were talking about that when we were leaving Pasadena last week. It's like, man, this is just gravy now. But as we get closer and closer, it's like, man, I want it all, and I want it now, like that Queen song was. We're so close, you know, to win another bowl game and potentially go to a national championship game. And I feel good about these guys. They've given me no reason to doubt them. They've come up clutch every single time when they've been up against it, too, when they were up against it at Iowa, when they were up against it at Penn State, in a tight grinder game in the Big Ten title game with Ohio State. They've given me no reason to doubt them. So this is going to be a war tomorrow night. No question about it. And that Oregon defense was absolutely impressive in the Orange Bowl. So going to be high leverage, and it's going to be close. We're not going to have the luxury of singing and, you know, being all joy like we were in the Rose Bowl. There's going to be some knuckle crushing and some fingernail biting in this one.
How big is the Davison injury in your opinion?
I think it's big. I think, you know, the fact that Oregon might have two healthy running backs, and Oregon like ran the ball okay in the first half, and then it got shut down in the second half. The numbers are a little deceiving because the Hoosiers did sack Dante Moore six times, so you got to take out that sack yardage. But, you know, I think it's worrisome if they can't run on Indiana. And Alabama, they couldn't run it anyway all year, and they couldn't run it on Indiana. Ohio State couldn't run it on Indiana. So is Oregon going to be able to find a way? Because I think if they have to trust Dante Moore, you know, and put it all on him, as talented as he is, I don't know if he can do it. He hasn't proven it, I think, in his toughest three games. The toughest three defenses they played were Iowa and also Indiana. And he's got one touchdown and four interceptions against the top three defenses, including Texas Tech as well in the Orange Bowl, I should say. So he hasn't put up those big numbers in the big time games yet this year.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah. So what you were there though, live in Autzen for that game as well, and you saw what I thought was an ass kicking. What scares you the most about Oregon then?
The explosives, because I think that they can. You've watched these guys over the years, Mitch. They have speed all over the place, especially at receiver. And those guys, it seems like they're open, like nobody's within like 20 yards of these guys sometimes. And Sadiq, the tight end, not really much because he was injured in that first meeting in Austin, but now he's going to be back and good to go. So that's a different wrinkle, I think, in this matchup of that Oregon offense that Bryant Haynes and the defense are going to have to solve.
The other unknown here, which we know what he's going to do, but it's what's going to happen on fourth down. And as Mitch has been all over Lanning, I think, and rightfully so, he hates field goals and he won't punt. So he also doesn't read the room. Where you thought there was going to be a low-scoring game and Tech wasn't going to move the ball against him, yet he went for it on fourth down eight times. What do you make of the Lanning thing?
Yeah, he did, and one of the reasons why he did is because Oregon didn't run the ball that great. And Texas Tech, we know, really good on the defensive line, one of the best in all college football. So they were kind of forced into that scenario, and that's what really decided the first meeting, guys, I think, on, you know, fourth down, but also third down. Nobody's better than Indiana on third down this year. They're number one on offense and they're number two on defense. And if you look at Indiana and some of their high profile games, like Oregon State, Iowa, Penn State, you look at the yards per carry and it's like man, it's not much. You know, it's right around three, you know, a B average basically with the GPA, but it was good enough. Like they ran it just well enough and they ran it on the downs that they needed to run it on. So I think Indiana, you're looking at the same thing here, and they just want to get into that situation where Mendoza can make the clutch throws, and he's done it every single time this year.
Mm-hmm. Is this, you went to Indiana, is this the best, forget college football, is this the best coaching job you've ever seen, what Cignetti's done? And if you put in perspective how bad and how down was Indiana football.
Yeah, I don't know who's better, Paulie. I think the fact that he came in, and, you know, yeah, he had the bravado and IU sucks and so does Michigan and Ohio State and I win, Google me. Mm-hmm. A lot of that was, hey, I got to promote a program to a dormant fan base. Because when he came here, and he's done some interviews about it, it was just like the press, like the offices were old. You know, the vinyl banners were getting less color in them, basically. It just looked dull, basically. And now he's brought this program and I think this whole operation to life here. And it obviously helps with the NIL and he's a superb talent evaluator. And also being able to get players, because if you look at what they've already done in the portal, they had about a four-hour window on Saturday to host 13 prospects, and they've already got about half of them committed, including Josh Hoover, the quarterback from TCU. So this thing is not stopping. I don't know what the ceiling is for this thing, but I know we're not going back, basically. We're not going back to, like, six wins and struggling to get into a minor bowl. Like, this is going to continue to be a really good program, I think, for years to come under Cignetti.
Better story, what he's doing right now, and if they win the national title, or had Gordon Hayward shot gone in against Duke and Butler wins the national title?
That's a hard one for me personally, Mitch, because my grandpa was in the Butler Athletics Hall of Fame and played ball there for Tony Ankle. So that was so special for the city. But I think that's the NCAA tournament. You will see that kind of Cinderella. You don't get a Cinderella in college football, and especially if, and I call them a Cinderella, even though they're still the number one seed and the lone undefeated team, because they're kind of getting treated that way a little bit in the media. It's like, we can't wrap our heads around the fact that Indiana is the best team in the country. Does that mean they're going to win the whole thing? We'll see tomorrow, but they can't wrap their heads around it. They're like, okay, the other shoe's got to drop, man. They just don't have the talent. The other shoe's got to drop, but it hadn't been dropping, guys.
That's a great point. Did you watch game day last week? Saban told the story of hanging out with his golfing buddies, and they're like, well, we're just going to kick Indiana's ass, and it's not going to be a problem. And that's you're right about how people just can't accept that Indiana's the best team.
Yeah, I saw the clip. I was getting drenched at the Rose Parade last week at Pasadena, so I didn't get to watch the show, but I did see that clip about Saban. But fortunately, McAfee's up there to carry the banner for Indiana University because he knows where he sleeps.
Okay, so let's talk about it from a betting perspective then. Do you have a bet on it? Possibly an emotional hedge, I don't know. And if let's say that you were removed from the situation and you were not a lifelong Hoosier and you didn't go to the school, what would you make the number and how would you bet it then?
I would make the number where it is, 3, 3.5. I think that that's a fair number. I played money line here just, you know, to take the points out of play. I think another option you could play is Oregon team total under 21.5. And I know there's some sharp guys betting the total over because that went up and we saw some 48s yesterday. And I think that's part and parcel of the fact that it's a fast track in Atlanta. No weather involved, Mercedes-Benz Stadium there. But you look at the Indiana defense, Mitch. They gave up 13 to Oregon because take out the pick six. They gave up 10 to Ohio State, and they gave up 3 to Alabama. So 3 of the top 8 teams in the tournament. Indiana's the only one that has wins over 3 of the top 8 teams. 26 points in 3 games, less than 9 a game. Very hard for me to take an over in this spot. You know, it's like, I got to believe that somebody's going to solve Brian Haynes because nobody's been able to do it so far. And there's a reason why now at Indiana, as absurd as this sounds, we are now paying $3 million a year for a defensive coordinator.
Yes, it is. Well, here's the thing too with that. I think we saw this against Alabama in the Rose Bowl. Cignetti probably will not take his foot off the gas, right? I mean, you know the guy, you've been following this as closely as anybody. It feels like if they have a chance to score another touchdown, he probably will.
Well, it's like he said on that 60 Minutes piece a couple weeks ago, attack at all times. And then that's what they do. And, you know, he's ruthless in like a good, in a good way, you know, and that's what you have to be. You know, you can't be a nice guy. Like, he's not like a mean-spirited guy. Like, he doesn't scream. He's not a ranter or a raver. But I love this coaching matchup between the two, because I think both Lanning and Sig are complete psychopaths, but in a completely different way. Like, Lanning's demonstrative and he's fiery and hey, you know, they're counting on clicks, we're counting wins and all that stuff. And Cignetti's just like, okay, keep the main thing, and he's all business. So, yeah, I've got no reason to – the guy's 25-2, Mitch. I got no reason to go against him yet.
Yeah. We were talking about this earlier, Wes, in like a minute. This has to be made into a movie. If so, who would be your top candidate or candidates to play Cignetti?
Oh, man, I got to go somebody a little bit older. You know, he kind of has that blunt demeanor that I've seen some of the characters play. Maybe like a Dan Aykroyd. Does that make sense?
Yeah, we got that. We got him.
Came in, yeah.
Yeah, that was on Twitter for sure.
Okay. Yeah. Cause he kind of reminds you of that, like how quick he is. It reminds me of the Zelensky character in Tommy Boy, where he just speaks so bluntly and then just moves on. You know, sorry about your marbles. Yeah. Your Z.
All right, pal. Thanks for the time during this busy trip, that you're, about to watch yet again with this team. Can't believe it. Nobody can. And hopefully they bring it home for you one more time. Thanks, Wes. Enjoy the game.
You bet. Thanks for having me on, fellas.
There you go. Wes Reynolds here at VSiN. From the state, lifelong Hoosier, went to the school, and he's right. I mean, like, nobody could have ever predicted this.
No way.
Come on.
Not this fast.
No, not a chance. Hardcore breakdown, wild card round coming up next. Longtime friend of the show, Adam Chernoff, with his thoughts on all six games. Follow the money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
We are live in downtown Las Vegas. Our next guest joins us from parts unknown. Remember growing up watching wrestling,
sure.
80s and 90s.
Missing
and
Link.
The Missing Link would come in. He's from the parts unknown, and you'd be scared as a kid. Like, what's he going to do? Is he going to kill the guy in the ring?
The pride of Alberta.
Yeah, here you go. Adam Chernoff on the program. How are you, pal? Long time no see.
I'm doing awesome. You guys look great. It's good to be back on the show. I don't know if I'm old enough to fit in the Rivers Return category after a year away doing no media whatsoever, but it kind of feels like that. So it feels like home, and it's good to be back with you guys, and we've got a fun playoffs to talk about.
So what do you think of the playoffs in general with how crazy the year appeared to be? I said, you know, wild this year that I can remember, maybe most dramatic in a great way. It was super entertaining the entire time. But how that might translate into the playoffs as well, and how we all bet it.
Well, I cited age just a minute ago, but I was thinking about it today and have been all week. Who's the favorite? Like, this is weird for me going through playoffs where nobody has to go through Foxborough like they had to do a decade plus ago with Brady. You don't have to go through Kansas City. You don't have the Bills as a high seed. You don't have any of these star quarterbacks getting the bye. It's a really different year in how you look at it. And it's also the first year that I can remember where there's been at least seven teams sub 10-1 odds to win the Super Bowl after week 17 or week 18, depending how far you want to go back. And so it is as wide open as I ever remember. And what's also very interesting and very different to me, just watching media, reading what people are writing, looking at different columns, there's a lot of very different arguments for why some of these teams are good and why some of them are bad. And I've never seen as wide of a sort of unstable consensus on who these top teams are. And so not only do I think there's future values with a team, which we can get to, but I also think that you're going to see a massive split opinion on a lot of games as we go through betting not only this round, but the next two rounds to come as well.
Yes, all excellent points. Both one seeds are flawed. Look at the quarterbacks. Look at the negative turnover differential. You can also look at Seattle, who gave up 37 points at home against the Rams. Houston's hot. They couldn't stop Genty and the Raiders. And Denver just got blasted at home by Jacksonville.
Sunday night, this past Sunday, wife was yelling at me, "Landman, new episode's on. Come on, let's watch it." I'm like, well, I'm reading through some of these comments. Like, give me a minute here. And it's exactly your point. There was a lot of tweets that came out. They were talking about, like, well, I have issues with this team. I have issues with this team. I have issues with this team. Mm. And I can go through every single playoff team and give you a strength of schedule sort of qualm, except for one team, about why I think they're flawed, like you said, Paulie. But you can also go through some of these recent results for a lot of these teams. There's the hot streak teams. There's these teams with phony wins. There's these teams with inflated victories over bad teams that are perhaps making them look better than they are. That can be said. I don't think anyone thinks Carolina's winning the Super Bowl, myself included. But, I mean, for every other team, you can make a case for why they're flawed. But I think outside of Carolina, you can make a case for why they can make a run to the Super Bowl as well. It's just, it's really interesting how it's all seeded out, and we're getting just an absolutely wide open opportunity here with a lot of these games and teams.
Well, which team do you think is the most complete as we go into the playoffs?
I'll give you a weird answer to that. I think the most complete team is the Philadelphia Eagles, but I think that that is the case because of all these teams and all the flaws and everything we're talking about. I still don't believe that we have seen the Philadelphia Eagles play their best game that they're capable of all season. And maybe I could make the argument, you have to go back to maybe outside of the Bills game, which was weird with the weather. Mm. Maybe you have to go back to like week 3 or 4 to say, like, this was the last time that we saw this Eagles team play near the team that they're capable of being. They've dealt with injuries. They've dealt with turmoil on the roster and the coaching staff within the locker room. I mean, it's been months outside of that Buffalo game since we've seen the Eagles play a good game. But a lot of their wins, if we're looking back over the course of the season, they have by far the most impressive sort of schedule of road wins of any team by a long shot. And they have some very impressive home wins as well. And so to me, with Lane Johnson coming back and Jalen Carter coming back on the defensive line and this defense that's very quietly as elite as it was last year, especially against the pass, I think the Eagles are the most complete. I also think they're the best futures bet right now. 9-1, 10-1, depending where you look. That would be my answer for that question, just because there's a chance that we're seeing them now perhaps begin to peak, where we're just talking about all these other teams that are perhaps wildly overrated in their own ways.
Okay, excellent. Adam Chernoff, our guest, one of the 6 Grandissimo winners. He's on the Progressive Guest Line. Follow the money, Paulie and Mitch Vieson. Let's start Saturday. In the first meeting, it was a lot of luck. Carolina was +3 in the turnover battle. They were great on third down, and they were 3-for-3 on fourth down. Also, one of the turnovers was a pick 6. Rams went up and down the field on them. The biggest point spread, biggest favorite in playoff history now. There's 11s at Circa. What do you think, Rams and Panthers to start?
Well, so I referenced the wife calling to watch Landman on Sunday night, and I'm reading these tweets. I was surprised because there was a lot of love for Carolina in these replies to different sports books coming out. What's your first glance? Who's your favorite bet? What do you look at? And the market did not agree with that at a lot of key books. And so there was some imbalance in sentiment, to put it lightly, in there. But as you said, I think that's a perfect assessment of the first meeting we saw between these two teams. LA put up nearly 7.5 yards per play. Carolina was sub 5.5. Those turnovers you referenced. But it was also Carolina hitting a lot of deep passes, which doesn't usually happen against this LA Rams team. It was Carolina hitting deep passes for touchdowns on fourth down. There were not a lot of drives in the game, so you didn't have a lot of possessions. It was a very strange game in how it played out, and I don't think we're going to see that replicated in this game. I think what we're going to see is the total is going to be bet down, and we're going to see both of these offenses struggle more than expected to move the football, and therefore saying I look at the under in this game. And the reason I think we see that is a couple of things. First of all, the Rams, when the offense is really good, it's play action, it's timing, it's spacing. that's going to be very difficult to do against the Panthers defense that's actually very good against play action. But also considering that we're very likely to get rain and just a little bit of wind in this game. And so I don't believe the conditions are great for a Rams massive offensive explosion, even with Davante Adams coming back. Because it's a Rams team that just doesn't line up and just bully teams up front, especially with Dotson now ruled out for this game as well. So Rams offense, I think you taper expectations there a little bit. On the flip side, I mean, the Panthers' run attack has been wildly overrated down the stretch, I believe. And I think against this Rams defense, again, in that first meeting, 5.5 yards per play to get to 31, tons of luck aided in that. Rams are going to do everything they can to put this game in the hands of Bryce Young, and I'm just not buying into that being successful in this game, in this matchup with him making the playoff debut. It's just so much working against him in this game, and the number reflects that. And so I think we see this game get bet down total-wise between now and kickoff. I think it's tighter. Maybe you want to look at first half under 23.5 for the slow Panthers start and avoid anything crazy late, but to me, this plays a lot differently than the first meeting.
All right, about 2 minutes here. You're going to hang out for one more segment. Then what about the game on Saturday night? Packers now a very small favorite, up to 1.5 at Chicago.
Well, let's focus on the total again. So just now at the most prominent sports book on the board, which I'll talk about in the next segment, it's been very telling this year. We saw them the last one to hang on at 46.5. This total's been getting blasted down today because a very prominent weather reporter published his report, and this is getting all sorts of red flags because you have sustained winds, you have rain, you have cold. This is just classic Chicago January weather that's going to make for a very exciting football game. I am waiting. Let's see how low this goes, because to me, even with the weather conditions, this sets up as a really nice over. The Bears have been awesome at scheming the run game all season long. The Packers without Parsons are a completely different defense. They've also got other injuries up front on the defensive line. So I think the Bears move it in these conditions. We're at a number now that's a couple points lower than the first meeting between these two teams, which went over. The second meeting had Malik Willis playing for half the game. And so that's a very hard reference point to get to from that second game, reflecting in this total. In that first meeting, when the Packers were opening up the pass game, they were able to find explosives all over against this Bears defense. And I also think now with Jacobs coming out and saying he's the healthiest he's been in more than 6 weeks, the Packers too are going to have more a resemblance of a run game than we've seen in a couple of weeks as well. And so I get there's weather, I get there's wind, I get there's cold. Let's wait this one out. These weather games always get bet under. I would expect this number to keep on coming down. Maybe you get 44 flat. Maybe you get even lower. I think we see some points, and I think we see some excitement in this one. I think it's going to be a really fun game to watch on Saturday night. So it'll be a late submit bet for me, but I'll be looking at the over in this
one. Very good. We'll continue with Adam Chernoff coming up next, longtime friend of the show. Love his analysis on the NFL. Had a great year betting this sport. He's on the Progressive guest line. We haven't talked to him throughout the regular season. I do know that he was super high on the Bills before the season started. I want to know if that's going to continue going into the playoffs, specifically if he likes them a lot against Jacksonville on Sunday. We continue here with Adam Chernoff on the program, part of a Grandissimo entry that won it here at Circa, by the way, and he's been on this show for like 6-7 years. This year, little hiatus. He's in South America right now, has been for several months. Hope he's okay with me saying that. So you referenced this in the first segment, Adam, and that is a sports book that you notice, an offshore book, with maybe like some leans their way when they were different than every other book in the world, or some late movement and how sharp it was this year. Give us the details on that.
Yeah, it's been interesting because a lot of Oddscreens products in the space are competing now. So you're getting a wider variety of feeds and a wider variety of books to look at. And it's been well known among pros that Bet War takes very high limits, and they've been very good to higher stakes players for quite a while. And I'm telling you, watching the screen weekly with some of the ways that they have been shaded on numbers and just seeing the market react to it. For years, it was always Chris that was driving that direction. And now that's kind of changed a little bit in some instances. And we're seeing some other books take over. And even in this weekend of wildcard playoffs, we've seen some pretty big, I would just call it like shading or stances being taken. But man, I tell you guys, like all season, watching some of these late moves here has just been crazy how predictive it's been. And whoever's betting there, betting a lot of money and doing very, very well this season, to put it lightly.
Okay. What do you make of the Bills? A team you've been high on in the past. One prominent media member picked them to win the Super Bowl today. The power rating is, to me, off based on what I've seen on the field and the issues they've had defensively. And who do you trust if you're Allen to get a first down? Who are you throwing to on 3rd and 8? But here they are. I mean, Jacksonville 8-0 straight up an ATS run at home, yet the Bills favored. Let's start there Sunday.
Yeah, never mind who can Allen trust on 3rd and 8, Paulie. Who can he trust his own legs with the injuries that he's potentially dealing with, which we know huge part of his playoff success. I mean, he has not looked the same since that injury is made public. And so what does that look like in this game, in this matchup against the Jags defensive front that's been very, very creative? But I very popular over. I'm seeing the over everywhere. I don't agree with that at 52.5. I think this plays a little bit tighter than is being projected by opinions and thoughts. So as I said, Allen dealing with the injuries, you pointed it out. Where do these big plays come from on key downs? We know what the Bills want to do on offense. They're the best that they can be when they're running the football. That's what they're going to try to do with James Cook. And that could work against the Jags, but the Jags have quietly been above average on defense in a lot of these cases. And so you have a bit of a stalemate there. But the other side, the Jags have been awesome with the addition at wide receivers that they've pulled in. It's all been about throwing the ball, spreading it out, and pushing things downfield. You don't beat the Bills defense by airing it out. You beat the Bills defense by lining up 5-6 guys up front, running the football, and pounding it in the middle of this Bills defense. And so what are the Jags going to do to counter that? Because if they've been doing what they've been doing on this run that they've had, that's not working against the Bills. And so I think both of these offenses struggle more than expected, and we see a bit of a lower scoring game than projected.
Okay. So I think the 49ers-Eagles game comes down to how many guys are actually going to be healthy for the 49ers, and maybe not looking so hot, although Trent Williams was limited today. Looks like Pearsall missed yet again. Kittle was limited. This has been the never-ending story here for the 49ers, not only this year, but for several years now. And this number is touching 5.5. That's the number here at Circa. Thoughts on this game?
Well, first of all, did you guys put on the tinfoil hats and look at the electric station next to the stadium conspiracy that's emerging?
Yes. I got to tell you, there's a pretty amazing report, though.
Go ahead.
Someone's got way too much time on Google Earth to pull that one out. But yeah. If that turns out to be something real, are we going to see are the 49ers going to have to move? What comes from this? I don't know. It was a weird report, but for anyone who didn't look at that, go and look at it. But like you said, it's the story every year, right? Niners and injuries, and it's happening at a key time. This is an awful, awful matchup for the Niners. We talked about the difference in sportsbooks just a second ago. We saw some recreational-facing sportsbooks in the U.S. on the apps post 2.5 minus 20 at open. The higher-stakes offshore sportsbooks open this one up at 3.5. And there's been shading the whole way. We're out to 5.5. And guys, that might not be enough for an Eagles team that could absolutely beat down this Niners team coming up on Sunday.
Wow.
The 49ers' ability to generate pressure is non-existent. Mm-hmm. If you give Jalen Hurts a clean pocket, he's going to do whatever he wants against his secondary. This 49ers defense is wildly overrated, full of injuries, has been getting away with playing a lot of very bad quarterbacks down the stretch. And so I think Hurts has a good game. The Eagles offense looks good. I think with Lane Johnson back, we see the run game emerge. You may look at Eagles team total over 24.5. You might look at possibly even the over at 44.5 if you want to pile on the Eagles with props. But I think this is pretty heavily shaded towards the Eagles in the matchup front across the board. And Trent Williams, he may ultimately suit up, but I can't see him being anywhere close to 100%. And you take him not 100% off of this offensive line, it's a completely different unit, and they're not going to be able to control this game. They're going to be playing from behind, and that's where Purdy really has struggled this season, even though this offense has looked really good down the stretch. So this is pretty heavily favorable matchups here for the Eagles.
Okay. I'm fascinated by Sunday night. You know, there's some sharp money on the Chargers. There's some great trends to point to the Chargers. May had a great year, but again, it's like the ninth easiest schedule in NFL history. Who they beat one team with a winning record. What do you think Sunday night, Pats 3.5?
I think the side in this game is very interesting because, like I said, we've been talking about some of these lines shaded. There was a 4 that was posted at a very prominent sports book that's a very high limit sports book, and it lasted for about 1.5 days, and someone took out the 4 today, and it's now 3.5 as the best price in the market if you want to go the other way. So a massive opinion there on the Chargers to bring this game in and tighten things up. You mentioned the Pats. Not only that, a ton of games, ton of snaps for the defense against backup quarterbacks, yeah, against third string quarterbacks. I'm looking at this game. The Chargers defense is going to force New England to make everything happen underneath. Mays benefited a ton from the deep ball. He's been very good at it. But I think back, it's maybe not the best comparison. The Giants defense tried to do the same thing on Monday night. It was very impressive how methodically May was able to move the ball down the field. So the Chargers bend but don't break defense is going to slow down the Pats with their deep ball. But I still think the Pats move it and have the ability to score points. And the Chargers offense is entirely dependent on the defense they play. Can you generate edge pressure because of the tackle issues that they have? The New England Patriots pass rush, I believe, but also statistically, is the worst of any team that's not named the San Francisco 49ers in the playoffs, worse than the AFC. So the big Achilles heel for the Chargers offense is not really going to be tested in this game by this Patriots defense, right, even with Milton Williams back, who's an interior pressure guy. And so I think the Chargers offense is going to be able to move the football as well. So this total's leaked up a little bit. I think we'll see some over money between now and kickoff come in and push this up even higher as both of these offenses could find success.
Any strong opinion Monday night then? Steelers at home as a dog?
Most divisive game of the week by far. So I sent out a tweet Sunday prior to Ravens Steelers. And my thinking was, let's get this matchup because the Texans are going to be able to force the Steelers to play in a phone booth. Now, the number opened up higher than I expected, but throughout the week, we've seen Steelers money come in and push this number back. What's interesting to me is I think about this matchup. So I think it's absolutely true. The Texans defense is going to be able to sit and force Pittsburgh to do everything underneath, even with Metcalf coming back. 4 of the last 5 games for the Steelers, their leading or second leading receiver in that game has been Kenneth Gainwell, a running back. And so it's not like the Steelers are just this crazy explosive offense, but they kind of don't have to do anything different to play optimally against this Texans defense because Rodgers is getting the ball out of his hands so quickly. It really takes away the standard pass rush that the Texans have been so good at generating. And so perhaps we see Rodgers in this groove behind an O-line that's playing exceptionally well. And now Tomlin willing to gamble more after being called out, the big coaching and philosophy change down the stretch. The Steelers have looked, I think, a little bit better than expected. And so while I looked at this as C.J. Stroud and the Texans coming in another year where they've navigated the wild card round very well, and the issues for Stroud in the playoffs have been going to peak Kansas City at the height of the Chiefs run and then going to peak Baltimore with the best Baltimore Ravens team we've ever seen and their 2 losses in the divisional round, thought they initially drew a break here against Pittsburgh, but every pro that I speak with on a weekly basis likes the Steelers in this game. And the market has reflected that in a big way. And so I'm just in the wild card weekend, I don't want to run out and oppose all of the bettors that I respect the most. And so I will sit on the sideline on this one and see who is right. But yeah, it's been a pretty divisive game all week for me.
Is it tough finding offshore books in Colombia?
Wide open across the board. Lots of legal ones, too. So there's no issues there.
Great talking to you again, man. Let's catch up again soon. Thank you. Best of luck this weekend.
Let's do it. Thanks, guys.
There you go. Adam Chernoff, our best bets in pocket plays coming up next.
to determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it. Take it.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1. You're on.
All right. Let's do it. We start tonight. This is going to be great. Five straight nights of playoff games. It's a hell of a run. Then the next week, divisional round, and then the championship in college football. Which, who knows? Maybe it's meant to be. Maybe it's crystal ball against his former team for all the marbles. Stafford MVP plus 310. I see Pro Football Talk says they gave it to Drake May. They gave Robinson Offensive Player of the Year. How about that? Bears-Packers under 47.5. Talking like 30, 35-mile-per-hour crosswinds. Going to be nasty in Chicago. Nasty as they want to be.
As Adam was saying, that's dropped to like 44, I think, now.
Yeah. Steelers plus 3.5. I'm concerned, and the numbers back it up, about how I had to bring my A game for 2+ months if I'm Houston. And they've been treating this like playoff games.
I really hate myself for not betting the 3.5.
They've won 9 in a row. Teams on these long winning streaks in the playoffs, 6-19 ATS since 2002. Houston all time, 0-6 on the road in the playoffs. And the Tomlin voodoo, satanic black magic stuff. You get that priest out there and all this other nonsense. They'll win 16-13. Panthers plus 10.5. Patriots lane 3.5. Patriots first half minus 2.5. Has been so good all year on the first half, especially on a money line. But 14-3 ATS. The opposite of the Bills, who have been awful ATS in the first half. All teams to score a touchdown plus 120. Puka, depth 10 yards in every quarter plus 375. Let's keep dancing. Both teams make a 35-yard field goal on the Monday night game, minus 150. Boswell over 1.5, minus 150. Bear Baron is now up at most books. He's $2. Chambliss, most passing yards out of the four quarterbacks in the semis, plus 120. Ray Davis, anytime touchdown, 10-1.
Were you able to find 10?
Yes. It's at DraftKings and other books. I grabbed a 15 in pocket, but that is tough to find.
Wow.
I don't think Johnson's going to play. He's banged up for the Bills, and it's wide open for Davis here to sneak in and steal a touchdown and get a lot of snaps, and he was so good last week in the win. But I just think that was too high. Now, that is as low as 6-1 now.
Davis.
At Caesars. Yeah, anytime.
Is that yours, or are you a prop thief again here?
Get out of here, you lunatic. Got to have goal in the first 10. Avalanche on a 16-1 run at home. Goal in the first 10, minus 170 against Ottawa tonight. Oregon, Indiana, longest touchdown under 39.5 yards. And again, we are talking about 35-mile-per-hour crosswinds. I don't think you're going to attempt it, let alone make it. Bears, Packers, longest made field goal under 49.5 yards. Let's see.
Loading up for the weekend games. All right.
More to come.
Sure. Respect. Nice results last night in the NBA. 3-point props got there with Deuce McBride over 2.5 plus 130. Michael Porter hit 8. Over 3.5 was plus 112. He took 15 in the game last night. 8, the ladder. Come on. Anthony Simons went over 2.5 plus 106. And Michael Porter did go over 31.5 points and rebounds. So solid night last night. The pending here, the Stafford with the MVP. Dart, offensive rookie. Gobert, defensive player. Packers, money line, minus 115 against the Bears. New plays here. A couple that we have going on tonight. Carson Beck under 30.5 passing attempts. On the year, he was under in... I have my numbers. Where are my numbers here? I think all but 3 games he stayed under. He only threw the ball 31 times in 3 out of 14 games. That's it. So he was way under in some of this stuff. The funny thing is his completions prop tonight is 20.5. He went over 20.5 11 times.
So I referenced his record earlier, where he's been so good, 36-5, I believe, with his record.
Mm-hmm.
But as a veteran quarterback, I still can't get the Louisville game out of my mind, and I just think you got to lean on Fletcher here, and it's got to be a short stuff to Tony. Even though the guy's a winner and he's a veteran, I just the level of trust here. I don't. I, He's prone to that awful game or kill you game.
Well, this is also correlated with hopefully this is more of a Miami game than an Ole Miss game where it turns into a, you know, you got to be in the 30s to win it, and Chambliss is dancing all over the field, and Beck's kind of going to match him. I hope it turns into long possessions, melting clock, a lot of running, and I think that also ties into the prop on Fletcher moving up his yards.
Yeah.
It went from like 88.5 here at Circa. Some books are at 96.5, and where he's going to be the guy getting, you know, maybe 20 carries or so.
Grab 25-1 MVP if you can find it.
Mm-hmm. So I like the Beck under 30.5. A couple of plays involving the Hornets tonight. Again, they're on a back-to-back. Should have won last night against Toronto. They are 7-0 ATS in a back-to-back, covering by 14.4 points per game. They have played four of the worst teams in the NBA on a back-to-back. Washington twice, Utah, not actually, in Toronto was another one. Toronto's not one of the worst teams, but the results have been awesome. They beat Washington twice in a back-to-back, 139 and 113 to 113. Other game was 126 to 109. They beat Utah 106 to 103. Indiana's as bad as anybody. No Mathurin tonight as well. I laid the 4.5. That number is moving. And I also played them on a money line parlay with the Eagles on Sunday against the 49ers at plus 116. Good luck, everybody.
Football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of tailgating. And right now, when you spend $129, you get 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings plus 50% off site-wide. OmahaSteaks.com/VSiN. Don't wait. Spend $129 and get 2 pounds of wings and save 50% site-wide on steaks and more. OmahaSteaks.com/VSiN. Minimum purchase required. OmahaSteaks.com/VSiN. We'll ask David, Dr. Chow about this Sunday. This is what Chernoff was referencing. The 49ers are the most injured team in the NFL over the past decade. Since moving to Levi's Stadium in 2014, top five in adjusted games lost 10 of the last 11 seasons. Achilles, ruptures, calf strings, hamstrings, calves, everything. Is it bad luck? What is it? So this got 9 million views. The facility is next to an electric substation.
Mm-hmm.
Low-frequency electromagnetic fields can weaken tendons and cause soft tissue damage at levels regulators call safe. We have a real world-class study proving this. An NFL team whose practice facility sits next to a massive electrical substation, and then there's a whole thread, and it got 9 million views, and he's got the Google image and the Google Earth and everything.
Look, I'm not going to rule it out because, again, we've asked the question for as long as I can remember, why is it that the 49ers seemingly are the most injured team in the NFL every single year?
It's crazy.
And if they found something here where it could be correlated, then Adam was kind of joking, like, do they just build a new stadium somewhere again? That thing's, what, only 10, 15 years old? Or do they just pull all the power plant down and remove that? I'm sure that's going to be an easy process.
Didn't that thing, was that Candlestick? Remember the thing blew before a Monday night game? Was delayed? Remember that big explosion? Or was that still Candlestick? They played the Bears, I think, or something. You don't remember?
No, I remember the transmitter going out here before during the Wisconsin
that's
game,
right.
And people lost their minds.
Got to get into that. What a story.
Oh, that's
that
a great story to kick down.
Damn right.
Yeah, absolutely. It's amazing, actually.
I got to look that up.
I don't remember what you're talking
about.
Was that
the new stadium? Don't remember that? It was a big explosion before a Monday night game. All right, anyway, go ahead.
Mm.
Anyways.
No, but I'm saying, like, okay, we can never put our, like, is there something wrong there with the medical team, the training staff? Like, are they just hiring the worst people on the planet that are actually qualified for these jobs?
Uh-huh. That's awesome. It is a tinfoil hat guy.
Well, and you're the biggest tinfoil hat guy that I know.
Luke, was it Candlestick? Oh, yeah, okay. It was Candlestick.
Okay. All right. Wow. So, you know, we could get we could get Crystal Ball taking on Oregon.
I know.
In a rematch. That's juicy.
Yeah.
That's not bad. I do not have a play on the side tonight. I thought about it all week long. It's too confusing to me.
I think Miami's too popular.
They are popular, yeah.
Yeah, and I want Cristobal as the dog, and I'm concerned. Take a guess how many text calls he's had since they beat Ohio State about, hey, I'm coming, we're going to do it. We get a home game. You got to win this one first, though.
Yeah. No, I think
everyone is so focused on, oh, my God, we're back, the U's back, and we're going to host the national title game in our backyard.
They've had two exquisite performances defensively in the playoffs, which they can clearly do again. This Chambliss thing, he's on fire. They just did it to Georgia. Georgia also had a very good defense, probably not as good as Miami's, but I think this is more of an in-play game for me tonight.
All right. Oxford Bob likes the under.
As do I.
I think he's right about that.
All right, stay tuned. VSiN Primetime. Man, this is going to be a great one coming up tonight with Humans and Murray. They'll take you through all the game as it's happening. It might actually trickle into catching out with Dustin Sweetelson so he can lose his mind again. VSiN by the books. Wake up early tomorrow at 7 a.m. Eastern with Dave and Jensen. They'll recap everything. Get you set for the weekend. Good luck, everybody.